8-12. Amanitvam madam bitvam. Ahimsa kshantir arjavam. Acharyopasanam shaucham. Stairyamatma vinigraha. Indriyartheshu vairagyam. Anahankaramevacha. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi. Dukha doshanu darshanam. Asaktirana vishvanga. Putradara grihadishu. Nityam cha samachittatvam. Ishtanishtopapattishu. Mayi chananya yogena. Bhakti ravya bhicharini. Vivitta desha sevitvam. Aratirjana samsadi. Adhyatma jnana nityatvam. Tatva jnanartha darshanam. Eta jnanamiti proktam. Ajnanam yadatonyatha. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization, and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. Here, Arjuna had asked two questions about jnana and jnaya. Jnana means the process of knowledge, or knowledge itself. And jnaya means that which is worthy of knowing, that which is knowable or worthy of knowing, which is the soul and super soul and the relationship. That is jnaya. In this whole creation, there is nothing more worthy or knowable than the relationship between soul and super soul. That is, the Lord and the devotee or the Paramatma and Jivatma relationship. That is considered the highest knowable truth in the whole existence. Because that is the permanent truth. That truth actually exists even after our death. You know that famous verse which explains two birds sitting in a tree. So one is the fruit-eating bird, the jiva, and the other one is the silent bird who is watching him. And the fruit-eating bird never turns to him. Practically, all the time he is absorbed in engaging in enjoying and suffering the things of the world. And then, after many, many lifetimes, the fruit-eating bird turns to the silent bird. Simply by seeing him, then he also becomes calm. Then his mind also becomes pacified. He gives up this futile endeavor of sukha, dukkha, mana, apamana, shita, ushna, this kind of duality. So that knowledge is the supreme knowledge, or the knowable, soul and super soul. So that will be coming later, about the knowledge of super soul, about what can super soul see. The super soul actually first sees and then only we see. Just like the sun sees first, then we can see with our eyes. Our eyes cannot see if the sun does not see. There is a verse in Bhagavatam which says that. Yena chetete vishwam, vishwamcha chetete nayam. It comes in the Gajendra Moksha section. Chakshur yasana rishyati. It is said, the Lord's eye never blinks. Super soul never blinks. Can any of us remain unblinking? You all want to try for some time? How long can we remain non-blinking? If you are blinking, that means we are at least in ignorance for a momentary period of time. And it goes because we don't know what's happening around us. And if you blink several times, that means we are in ignorance in installments. To say like that. But the super soul never blinks, never winks. His eyes are always open. Chakshur yasana rishyati, it is said. His eyes are never closed. He is constantly watching the soul. He is the witness of all the activities. So about that super soul, we will be reading later, in the later part of the same chapter. And the soul's relationship with the super soul. If somebody can become awakened to that knowledge of super soul and soul, then he can gradually become oblivious to the changes that happen around in the material world, all around the living being. In our field of activity, there are so many changes happening. One will not be affected by those changes, because one is completely fixed in samadhi on the super soul. So such a person may be walking, eating, sleeping, doing activities externally, but he clearly knows that all these external activities are happening between the body, the senses and the sense objects in the world. But he withdraws himself, aloof, and he is constantly focused on the super soul. Like there is a verse in the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manjeta tatpavit pashyan srinvan sprishan jigran ashnan gacchan svapan shvasan indriyan indriyarteshu prapan visrjan unmishan nimishan napi. All these activities. So many activities are given there. Na eva kinchit karomi iti. I am not the doer of any activity. I am a soul aloof from this body. Yukto manjeta tattvavit. Tattvavit means the knower of truth. Knows clearly that this body is simply an instrument. And I am the user of the instrument. I am different from the body. Pashyan, while seeing, I am not, the eyes are not seeing. The soul inside the body is seeing through the eyes. Pashyan, srinvan, hearing. These ears are not hearing. I am the soul sitting in the body who is hearing through the instrument of the ears. So he knows that actually he is aloof from the body and his relation is only with the super soul and not with the external objects of this world. You can clearly see that. So, in order to achieve that type of jnaya or knowable knowledge, which will be discussed later, there is a process of knowledge or process of occurring knowledge that is explained in this verse 8 to 12. This is called jnanam. This is jnanam and that is jnayam. To know completely about soul and super soul is jnayam, or the knowable objects of truth, the ultimate objects of truth in life. And here is the step-by-step process given. First ladder is, like we climb up the staircase. First step is amanitvam, and then adambitvam, ahimsa, kshantir, arjavam, acharya, pasam. It goes on higher and higher, like this. So if one can climb up this ladder of process of knowledge, when one comes to the, about there are 20 items given. In fact, Acharya has explained that these are 20 types of sadhanas that are not under three modes for getting out of the sandbox of material frames. Remember the sandbox example I was giving before? Sandbox is the field in which we are situated. So these 24 elements that are surrounding the soul are superfluous to the soul, but they are the field for the soul in which the soul is constantly identifying with. So in order to get out of this field of activities, these are the 20 types of sadhanas, it is explained. So this knowledge or jnana has nothing to do with the kshetra or the field, but it can help us to get out of this kshetra, get out of the field by knowing this. We can say it's like a rope that is given to us, holding which we can uplift the soul out of this field of activity. Actually, it is very difficult for anyone to get out of the field of activity. What it means, is identifying with the field of activity is very natural for a conditioned soul. It's very natural to identify ourselves with the conditioned state of existence, identifying with the body, identifying with our relatives and friends, identifying with our post and position, identifying with our nationality, gender, and all these things. So that is actually the field, the kshetra that is allotted to us. So to go beyond the kshetra and remain aloof from the kshetra and connect oneself to the super soul, that is not a very easy thing. But here Krishna mercifully offers us a clue. What are the different type of activities that we should do in order to get oneself out of this field of activities? So first he has already explained what is kshetra, and he explained kshetrajna, and he also explained the second type of kshetrajna. Who is that? Super soul, yeah. After explaining all that, now he is going to tell about the jnanam. So he is going step by step. And once you know the jnanam, and then you know the jnayam, so then you will be inspired to follow the jnanam. Once you know the jnayam, then you will want to attain that. So we will try to discuss a few items every day, every class when we come together. So I was referring to Ishopanishad, where Prabhupada quotes these items, which I would like to refer. This is 69, I think, page number. This is mantra number 10. Here Prabhupada quotes this here. As advised in the chapter 13 of Bhagavad Gita, 13.8-12, one should culture knowledge in the following way. After saying this, Prabhupada gives 18 items here, 18 statements, in which all these 20 types of knowledge items are covered in this. Why I would prefer to read this, here Prabhupada has given more precisely what each of these items mean. So when we say humility, first one is amanitvam. So here Prabhupada is writing here what it exactly means. See, Prabhupada says here, one should become a perfect gentleman and learn to give proper respect to others. This is the meaning of amanitvam. That's why I would like to read this and explain. Because here Prabhupada explains each of those words very nicely. One should become a perfect gentleman and learn to give proper respect to others. Man, amani, means what? Amanina manadena. Not accepting respect, but always eager to give respect to others. So Prabhupada is saying in one letter to one of his disciples, if you want I can read that exactly. I got the copy of this. Here Prabhupada is saying here, this is Prabhupada's letter to Gargamani Prabhu, September 8, 1969. This is called Vaikuntha attitude. In the Vaikuntha, factually there is no fault in anyone, but there is another type of competition. The competition is that one devotee thinks of other devotees, how nicely they are serving the Lord. In the material world, the attitude is that everyone likes to think that I am doing better than others. This is material conception. In the spiritual sky, it is just the opposite. Everyone thinks that my contemporary devotees are doing better than me. We are trained to address God-brothers as Prabhu, which means Master. This means we shall try to find out always the serving side of our God-brothers. Sometimes there are misgivings, but we should try to overlook. Like the Prabhupada is writing. Very nice letter. So one more letter. Huh? So here Prabhupada is writing, this is another letter. Prabhupada's letter to Gargamuni Prabhu, this is February 5th, 1969. Here he is saying, your humble repentance is just like a Vaishnava student. So I thank you very much for this humbleness. Lord Chaitanya taught us to be humbler than the grass on the street and more tolerant than the tree. So these symptoms are Vaishnava symptoms. Yeah. Here there is another segment about humility. We need to be aware that the vast majority of our exchanges are with devotees and innocent public. Aparadha is the only real stumbling block in spiritual life. We must become fearful of committing offense. This awareness will lend sobriety and gravity to our behavior. We will naturally become humble. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will become pleased and will make advancement without serious obstruction. So, we read some statements now which show that we should try to learn this humility in the context of Vaishnava behavior. Because in Vaishnava lifestyle, often it is likely that we may be thinking, I am very humble. What others consider about us is more important. Sometimes we may be internally thinking, I am a very humble devotee. In fact, many people think they all are humble. So, how others, what others feel about you is very important. Prabhupada says, humility means not anxious to be honored by others. One is not very anxious to be honored by others. That is the meaning of Trinadapishanichana. So one has to check whether one is in that platform. Like here he says, as devotees, we all come across two categories of people. One is the other devotees, and then the innocent public. So when you come across other devotees, there is a likelihood that we may want to brag about ourselves. And when we come in contact with the innocent public, we may want to dominate them and deride them or dominate them. Deriding them means, just see, they don't know even this. Just see, ridicule them. Or we may dominate them. So there is a very nice verse, Upadesh given by Narada Muni to Dhruva Maharaj. So, you all can repeat this verse. Gunadhikan mudam lipset anukrosham gunadhamat maitrim samanat anvichen natapai ravibhuyate. If any of us want to become free from the miseries of the world, how many of you want to become free from all miseries? All of us, isn't it? Here is a secret formula given. This is secret from Srimad Bhagavatam. See, Bhagavatam doesn't tell any lies. It says, na tapair abhibhuyate. You will not have any tap, any suffering in your life. You will become free from all suffering. When? If you can do these three things. First it says, guna adhikhan mudam lipset. If somebody has qualities or qualifications superior to you, what you should do when you meet such a person? Mudam. You should feel pleasure. Guna adhikan mudam lipset. You should feel great pleasure to see someone more qualified than you or having some qualification better than you. Anukrosham guna adhamat. If somebody is adhama, like you say adhama janara bandhu, if somebody is adhama means fallen person or somebody younger to you, ignorant, foolish and struggling hard to understand what is spiritual life, then what you should do? Anukrosham. You should feel compassionate to such a person. Not that, you know, you ridicule him. Just see, you don't know even this. I know you are a fool. You are ignorant. No. Feel compassion for such a person. Anukrosham guna adamat. Don't dominate him. Don't exploit him. But feel compassion for him. And then he says, maitrim samanat anbichen. Those who are equal to you. So you don't have to go and tell them your greatness or how I am no less, I am no lesser than you. I am equal to you and I am better than you. No. Maitrim samanat anvichen. Be friendly with those who are equals. Be friendly with them. Share your heart with them. Be honest to them. Be open to them. Maitrim samanat anvichen. Then he says, Natapair Abhibhuyate. Natapair Abhibhuyate. Then you will not suffer the threefold miseries in this world. Especially the Atibhautika suffering. You will not feel that. Maybe the first and last may come. Adiyatmika and Ati Daivika. But Atibhautika you will not feel. The Atibhautika comes because when we see people who are more qualified than us, instead of feeling jolly to see them or happy to see them, we become envious. When we see somebody junior to us, we deride them. We deride them or we exploit them or whatever. And when we see somebody equal to us, we compete with them and we try to present our greatness in front of them. We struggle hard to prove to them that we are great. And that in all these three involve a lot of struggle. Prakritisthani, Karshati, Krishna says, no, that's a Karshati. That is a struggle. Feeling envy or deriding or trying to prove one's greatness, all these things. These are all opposite to humility. All this. So because of this, one cannot be peaceful in this world. Like you see, people are suffering like anything in this world. Why they are suffering? If you carefully see, all the interpersonal problems, they sprout from this, these three things, what we are talking now. Interpersonal relationships, problems. So those people are very fortunate who can do this, what Narada is telling to Dhruva. Very, very beautiful verse. So, Prabhupada also is saying something similar about the Vaikuntha attitude. In Vaikuntha, nobody thinks I am very great. Nobody thinks I am superior. Others are inferior. Or I am doing a very great service. Others are not doing much. Others, you know, their service is not so important. Or their service is insignificant. My service is a very great service. Or I am contributing something very special to the movement which others are not doing. A devotee never feels like this. A devotee always feels that, just see how this wonderful Vaishnava is dancing so beautifully. Just see how this wonderful Vaishnava is singing so nicely. Just see what a wonderful prasadam he has cooked. Just see this devotee how humble he is. He is serving prasad. Just see this devotee how wonderfully he is sleeping. So that he can get energy to get up in the morning and serve Krishna again. So one doesn't feel oneself to be superior to anyone. Like, you know, when I see somebody sleeping, immediately my mind tells me, just look at this lazy bum. I am telling you what my mind says. Isn't it? So this shows how difficult it is to be humble. Similarly, we find fault with even wonderful devotees. Wonderful devotees, they have given their life, they are wearing tilak, they are wearing kantimala, chanting, dancing, attending program, and just like bumblebees eager to lick the honey from the lotus, similarly they want to hear the Krishna Katha and put it into their hearts and apply it in their lives. Such sincerity and seriousness. Even after seeing such devotees, still we feel offensive due to lack of humility. That is why this Amanina Manadhyana is very important. Actually, we are not talking of some show bottle humility. There is also something which is show bottle humility. The people sometimes, you know, they hold their hands and, you know, they fall on the ground and roll on the ground, you know. They look externally humble. Sometimes people look like humble. But you can see how much independent, whimsical mindedness they have. You can easily observe it. It's not very difficult to know who is humble, who is not. Actually, humility is courage. In humility, humility is not inferiority complex or weak-mindedness. Humility is actually courage. Those people who are truly humble will never fear to declare their weaknesses to others. Generally, when we tell our weakness to others, we are fearful. We will go and tell somebody about me, bad about me, and what will the world think about me? I should be, my image amongst people should be very good. Nobody should know my faults. My prestige, my image, what will happen to it? So I should not have a tarnished image. I should have a good image amongst people. So such people, you know, very carefully they put up a very nice external show, which is explained later, called as adambitvam. So that is dambha. They try to show themselves to be someone what they are not. That is called as dambha, actually. So those who are truly humble, they don't have inferiority complex. They truly have the courage. to admit. So this one pastime really touched my heart, which I heard in South India about Parashara Bhatta. So Parashara Bhatta was praying to Lord Ranganath, and he was declaring all his, you know, from his heart. He was so humble. He was pouring out his heart to the deity. He was telling, "Oh, my dear Lord, I am such a fallen person. I am a rascal. I am a rogue. I am lusty. I am greedy." And he said, "I have all the bad qualities in the world." He was telling all that. So he would go in front of Lord Ranganath and regularly pray like this, and he would weep. And sincerely, these things, these are outpourings from his heart. So a very advanced devotee always feels himself or herself very fallen. One doesn't consider, "I am very great." They feel, actually, "I am a destitute. I am poverty-stricken. I am insignificant. Krishna is very great." Like Rupa Goswami offers a wonderful prayer, "Oh, my dear Lord, although I am ignorant and foolish, and although you are the wisest of the wise, although I am very fallen and sinful, although you are the most saintly, still I have come in front of you to beg you to offer this fallen soul your causeless mercy, who only chants your name very occasionally, not 24 hours a day." So that is a prayer by Rupa Goswami. Actually, this is a prayer from Padma Puran, which Rupa Goswami quotes in one of his writings. So he says that, "Ideally speaking, I am supposed to be chanting your holy names 24 hours a day, satatam kirtayantama, which I am not able to do. I only chant your names occasionally, because of which I am fallen, I am sinful, I am foolish and ignorant and all this. But you are very saintly, you are the kavi, you are wisest." So he prays like this. This is the mood of a devotee always, when he especially approaches the Lord, our great devotees. So one doesn't consider oneself to be very great, or one doesn't present one's qualifications to the Lord. "Okay, my dear Lord, I have done these things to you. So be happy with whatever I have done. Don't demand too much." He doesn't speak in that tone. He doesn't even feel that way. We may not speak it, but we may feel it. Yeah. Feeling is not much different from speaking. Why? Because if you feel something, if somebody triggers you, you will speak it. For example, you will be very humble. "Oh, I am a simple devotee, I am very small." And that devotee, another devotee comes to you and tells you, "Yes, Sir Prabhuji, you know, in comparison to you, that devotee, he has done a lot of wonderful things." If he says like that, what will you do? Immediately you say, "Wait a minute, you don't know who am I. I'll tell you what all I have done. Hear about my parakramata." You start declaring. So our humility is short-lived humility. It is not long-lasting humility. So when he went, when Parashara Bhatta went in front of the Lord, he was opening his heart, pouring his heart, speaking to the Lord, not out of some false humility, genuine humility. And there was someone who considered himself to be enemy of Parashara Bhatta. Although pure devotees of the Lord are called as Ajata Shatravashanta Sadhavasadhu Bhushana, Pritikshava, Karunika, Surdasarva Dehinam, Ajata Shatrava means they have no enemies. But one person considered himself to be enemy of Parashara Bhatta because he was envious. So he went and stood in front of the deity also by the side of Parashara Bhatta. And he saw Parashara Bhatta opening his heart to the deity and speaking. Then Parashara Bhatta would say, "Oh, my dear Lord, I am very fallen." So this fellow would say, "Satyam." Again he would say, "Oh, my dear Lord, I am crazy, I am fool," and all that. He would say, "Satyam, Satyam," he would say. So Parashara Bhatta was hearing all that. After hearing all that, at the end, you know what he said, "Oh, Ranganatha, I am always trying to come and pray to you, but you don't pay any heed to my prayers. You don't take me seriously. Today I have brought a witness with me." So when here is the witness you are telling, this person is just the... So he didn't speak to him, he spoke to the Lord. That way, this goes to show the humility. Another day, Parashara Bhatta was giving a lecture. And when he was giving a lecture, suddenly from the audience, one fellow stood up and he started blaspheming him very badly. And Parashara Bhatta spoke back. He said, "If one is a devotee of the Lord, one is supposed to do three things. One is supposed to glorify the Lord, and one is supposed to glorify the devotees, and one is supposed to declare one's fallen nature. Today in my lecture, I only did the two things, and this friend has done the third thing," he said, "who has told about who am I, how fallen am I," he said. So these pastimes actually teach us what is true humility, genuine humility. When we hear about great devotees, we should relish these pastimes in our heart. And we should compare it with our consciousness and mood. When we compare it with ours, then we understand secretly, I am not so advanced. We may not have the guts to go and tell everyone, Prabhu or Mataji, I am not so advanced. But we can know ourselves, at least heart of hearts. Oh, I am not so advanced. I don't have such a humility. I certainly feel pride. Pride is like, see, when the pride comes in the heart, it is like a symptom of the disease. Like when you get fever, your body is hot, tongue is bitter, you can see all that. In the same way, false pride is a sign of diseased consciousness. That's what Krishna says in the very first statement, humility, amanitvam. Even if you possess qualifications, don't be proud. Because none of these qualifications are going to remain with you forever. And they will be taken away at the time of death. As Shankara also says in that famous song, he says, Ma kuru dhana jana yauvana garvam harati nimesha kala sarvam maya mayam idam akilam hitva brahmapadam tvam pravishavidetva Vajagovindam, there are so many wonderful good instructions given. One of which is this, Ma Kuru, do not. Ma means do not. Like we say, Chinta Mastu, we say, no, don't worry. Same way, Ma Kuru, do not. Dhana Jana Yavana Garvam. Don't feel pride with your Dhana means the wealth. Jana means aristocratic relatives and friends who are surrounding you. Yauvana garvam means the pride of youth or youthhood. Don't feel pride about youth, you will become old eventually. Don't feel proud about the wealth you have, that will be taken away. Just like a bumblebee collects so much honey in the honeycomb, which is taken away by some farmer. He comes with a mashal, comes with a torch and drives away all the honeybees and takes it away. Similarly, our wealth will be taken away at the time of death, or it will be robbed even before by some robbers. So don't be proud of the wealth. Or don't be proud of the aristocratic relatives who surround you. They are not surrounding you, they are surrounding your pocket. When your pocket is empty, they will be gone. So don't be proud of these things, he is saying. So these are generally things that give us pride. Janma Aishwarya Shrutashri Viredamana Madah Puman. Janma Aishwarya Shrutashri. High birth, or Aishwarya means wealth. Janma Aishwarya Shruta means great learning, or Panditya. Shri means bodily beauty. So, Amanita means to give up that kind of pride that comes from these things. Sanatana Goswami had all these things. Sanatana Goswami was very wealthy. He was given a separate palace by Nawab Hussain Shah. He was very learned also. He was learned in Persian. He was learned in Arabic language. He was learned in Sanskrit. So he was very learned. They had beautiful bodies, Rupa and Sanatana. They were the most wealthy. Everything they had, all these things. Janma, Aishwarya, Shrutashri. They were born in Sarasat Brahman families. What do they call it? GDB, is it? Gaud? Yeah. GSB. GSB they call it. Gaud Sarasat Brahman. I was going in the train that day. So one person saw me and he himself approached me. And he said, I think you were to Hare Krishna devotees? He asked me. I said, yes. Then he said, I also come from GSB family. I was wondering, what is GSB? Then he said, I am Gaud Sarasat Brahman. Then I told him about Rupa Sanatana. I told him, our acharyas also come from Gaud Sarasat Brahman. We should follow in their footsteps, so take the mala. Yeah. Of course, he was working with Satyam Computers here. He's a software engineer. He said, I came to you not for hearing any spiritual discourses. I wanted to know whether you can give me some tips for stress management. I am facing so much stress sitting in the computer all day. That was his problem. Anyway, maybe he'll become a devotee someday. So, people are proud of their high birth. People remember that I am born in a Brahman family. That they are very proud of declaring to everyone. But they don't do the activities of a Brahman. They may be doing the activities of a Shudra, but they are very fond of declaring themselves to be Brahmana. But Vaishnava is one who, despite these things, Janma Aishwarya Shrutashri, is always humble. Like Rupa Sanatana. The way, actually, for any quality you want to learn, there are some great personalities from whom you can learn. Humility, who is the special personality? Sanatana Goswami. In fact, Sanatana Goswami's humility was so much that Lord Chaitanya cried tears, saying that. He said, "Oh Sanatana, don't be so humble, don't break my, your humility is breaking my heart," he said. One time Sanatana in Jagannath Puri had come through the hot sand of the beach to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was so fond of meeting Lord Chaitanya that although the hot sand of the beach was producing blisters on the soles of his feet, he didn't feel any pain at all. As soon as he met Lord Chaitanya saw that his feet was having all blisters, sand blisters, because of the heat. He asked, "By which marg, which route you came to meet me?" He said, "I came by the beach of the ocean." He asked, "Why?" He said, "You know, in Jagannath Puri, there are so many pujaris moving with the bhoga to offer to the Lord. And I was afraid if I come through that road, I may touch the body of any of those pujaris and their body will become contaminated by my body. So I took the another route," he said. So Sanatana Goswami is very famous for his humility, genuine humility. The way he approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time, "Keyami, Kenayama, Yare Tapatra, Yihanai, Jani, Shudra Kenanai," he declared himself as a Shudra. So we can begin becoming humble by at least speaking some good things with our mouth. We can make some statements of humility from our mouth, although we may not feel inside. Like he says, Shudra Kenanai, he declares himself a Shudra. It may be difficult for us to call ourselves a Shudra, no? Isn't it? Even after becoming Vaishnava, if somebody earlier was from a Brahmana family, they will tell others, "Anyway, now I'm a Vaishnava, but before I was a Brahmana. I come from Brahman family." Remember that, huh? I'm not from any ordinary caste. So we are it's very deep rooted. So at least we can begin speaking some humble words with our mouth. And then gradually someday we will feel in our heart also such humility. So that's why the first thing he says about humility. Prabhupada says here, you see, humility means one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others. But from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge, who knows that he is not this body, anything, honor or dishonor, pertaining to this body is useless. One should not be hankering after this material deception. Like that Prabhupada is saying. So we have to learn from the acharyas, like see Madhavendra Puri, when honor was about to be given to him for Gopinath, who stole the kheer for him, he ran away, isn't it? He didn't want the honor. He didn't run towards the honor, he ran away from the honor. Generally, how do people run? People actually try to prove their credentials, justify their credentials in the public, and amongst the colleagues, amongst the friends and everyone, ultimately to some or other capture the credit or capture the medal or whatever it is. But here we find Madhavendra Puri running away from honor, which is, so that is why it is said, those Vaishnava devotees who run away from the honor chases them. It is said, the honor chases them, and the honor reaches even before they reach, as it happened with Madhavendra Puri also. And those people who run after honor, the honor runs away from them. It's like that. And then he explains about adambitvam. People are very anxious to be famous for their religion, and consequently sometimes it is found that without understanding the principles of religion, one enters into some group which is not actually following religious principles and then wants to advertise himself as a religious mentor. As for actual advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. So Prabhupada is saying like this. Sometimes somebody enters into a religious group. Like here he says, second point, one should not pose himself as a religionist simply for name and fame. Nowadays there are so many religious organizations. I would not like to mention the name, but there is one organization which apparently accepts Krishna as supreme. So they worship Krishna, but singular Krishna, only, not with Radharani or with anybody else. And they worship him as Yogeshwar. And externally when you see, you may think, oh, wonderful. You see, they are worshipping Krishna, it's very nice. But then you read their book, the famous founder of that movement, he has made his followers do a lot of social service and everything. But if you open the book and read, what is their understanding of Krishna? In the first few pages of their book, you will find, he says Nirakar, the ultimate truth is Nirakar, which takes on the shape of Krishna. Finished. That's the first thing you will read. And then he goes some few steps further. You know what he says? He says, Krishna was such a, just like Naxalites do, Krishna stole butter and he shared it with his friends, like a communist who shares with everyone and eats. So Krishna was a communist, socialist communist. So like that, from that point of view he is approaching. And he is saying that, so we also should do the same. We should take the wealth and divide it amongst all and we should, enjoy. That is the way we should do. And then he says Krishna was the most intelligent politician. And what are the tricks that Krishna employed? So he says that we should learn politics from Krishna. And we should use those politics to ultimately bring about the welfare of all the people, social service. So in this way he is capturing many wrong points, although declaring himself to be a religious reformer. He is simply a social reformer, using the tool of religion to motivate the people. But ultimately misinterpreting religion and ruining the life of so many masses, unfortunately. It is simply dumba. And there are so many hodgepodge religions which have come about now. So many of them nowadays. And even sometimes educated people, sometimes even innocent people, but educated people, sometimes they are looking for the right religion. They want to understand God, they want to surrender to Him. But they get carried away by these religions. Like somebody declares himself to be Kalki. I am the Kalki avatar. And there are thousands of people who go and take shelter of such a person. Kalki doesn't come so early in Kali Yuga. Kalki comes at the end of Kali Yuga. Still there are 4,27,000 years, right? 4,27,000 years to go for Kali Yuga to end. So many years that already is declaring his Kalki now. There is one... another opposite Kalki has come now. There are two people declaring themselves to be Kalki. So in South India TV, both Kalkis had a fight. So they had presented a live cast for all people to see. And I heard that live telecast of the two Kalkis fighting was, you know, the viewership was the maximum for that. Yeah. They're going to court now? Yeah, they're going to court also, he's saying. Additional information. Isn't it? Because this fellow may be thinking, you are making more money than me. You Kalki. You become a junior Kalki. You become a younger brother Kalki. You be junior Kalki, I'll be senior Kalki. Both of us can earn, loot the people. He said one of them was working in railways and he suddenly says he realized that he became Kalki and he became God. He started declaring to people. Yeah. That came one month ago also, Pandey, yeah. Actually, the reason why he is calling Dusri Radha is he already has a wife, but he is going to another woman's house, which was found out in the news item, it says. And when he was caught, because he is not able to take care of the previous wife by giving her wealth and everything. At the same time, he doesn't want to divorce her also. At the same time, not caring for her also. Now he is saying, I have become a Radha and I am associating with other gopis, other house. You can see that, yeah. And he may have thousands of people following. So, this is the reason why people lose faith in religion. These are the reasons why there are so many bogus organizations. So dumba means posing oneself to be a religious reformer, although one doesn't have any substance. One doesn't know what God is, what soul is, what is the relationship, what is the right religion. Prabhupada was very strong about this. You have read this article of Saints and Swindlers in SSR. Prabhupada writes, in Bhagavatam you will read a lot. Darshan. Yeah. Is it? For half an hour darshan, he charges 1 lakh, he's saying. Personal darshan, yeah. So it's very surprising how the masses are so gullible. Huh? Yeah, it's very surprising. But Prabhupada says, because people want to be cheated, there are cheating gurus, Prabhupada says. In Kali Yuga, people want, like why do people go to such gurus? Because they want some guru who will give ashirvads for enhancing their material life. You can have more money, you can have more wealth, more enjoyment in life. And they don't have anything to give and take with God at all. Then why do they unnecessarily bring religion into picture? Why don't they do these things without religion? But why they take religion into account? Because they want support of God to become God amongst other people. That's why Bhagavatam is very heavy. Shavid varahoshta karehi samsuta purushak pashu. Nayat karana patopito jatunama gadagraja. So there are leaders who pose themselves to be leaders but who are not actually leaders. So they are simply counted amongst animals. And people who are like animals, they make one big animal into their leader. And they follow such an animal, as he said. But they themselves don't follow the principles properly, religious principles. So this is adambitvam. So Prabhupada explains, one should not pose himself as a religionist simply for name and fame. Like the Vishwaksen, who was posing himself to be Vishnu himself. Very unfortunate. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur took an action to finish him off. He was very, very bold. There is one another pastime we read in Chaitanya Bhagavat, very interesting pastime. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to know that Advaita Acharya is preaching monism, then he told Nityananda Prabhu, come, let's both go to Shantipur and see what is happening there. So they both the lords, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they were proceeding towards Shantipur. On the way, there was a place called Lalitpur, which they came across, where there was the house of a sannyasi. So Nityananda Prabhu took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to that place. Here is a sannyasi living. And when they both entered the house, that sannyasi was very pleased seeing these two lords. It was like sun and moon descending together in his house. He was very pleased. He made them sit and he told them, he gave them ashirvad. Oh, my dear boys, I bless both of you that you will have abundant wealth. You will have wife, children, family and abundant fame, name and all things that you need in the material world. I bless you to get all of that, he said. Lord Chaitanya protested. He said, please do not give us such benedictions. We only want to attain Krishna Prema. We don't want anything else. And it is not befitting you as a sannyasi to give such blessings to us. In fact, when he heard it, he became angry. He said, just see, this is the nature of the world. If you try to do something good to a person, he will beat you with a stick. I am trying to give you such nice benedictions for you and you people are not understanding what I am offering you and you are insulting me, you are protesting against my boons, you are shouting. Then Lord Chaitanya explained to him, just see, people who are addicted to material sense gratification, they study the Vedas and they want to be elevated to heaven, they want to go to heaven. In fact, in Vedas there are some statements which say, like if you take dip in the Ganges, or if you chant the names of Govinda and other names, you will get punya. But why the Vedas say this? By doing these activities, instead of getting some material facility, one gets an opportunity to become a devotee. One does devotional service. So Lord Chaitanya explained to him that material benefits are a big impediment for a person who is actually aspiring to return back to Godhead. One should actually aspire for attaining the shelter of the Lord. One should not ask for the material things of the world. So when Lord Chaitanya was explaining like this, the sannyasi was becoming more and more angry. Then the sannyasi said, you boys, you look like children who are still drinking milk from your mother's breast and you are giving me advice. And I am wearing the dress of a sannyasi and I have to hear from you. Just see the irony. He was telling like that. So then Nityananda understood that sannyasi is a little angry. So he went to him and told him, oh great sadhu, oh great sannyasi, oh Sripad, do not worry. He is a small boy. He, whatever he is speaking, he is like a child. Don't take him very seriously. Whatever you are saying is very wonderful. Nityananda Prabhu just encouraged him like that. And then he also became very pacified, because simply by looking at the glow of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, he became very pleased. Then he said, I want to offer you something to eat, offer you fruits. So both of you take a bath and come. They both took a bath and came back. So he was offering them fruits. And Lord Chaitanya was eating the fruits calmly. He accepted. And then his wife came from inside. And then she started staring at both the lords, Gauranitai, both of them. And she saw that she has never seen anyone so beautiful. And she was constantly staring at them. And when this sannyasi was scolding the boys again, she was telling them, hey, don't scold them. Look at them, they look like such great personalities. She was like glorifying them. So, when Lord Chaitanya saw her, he was shocked. Yeah, Nityananda Prabhu, who is this? So Nityananda Prabhu said, she is his wife. What kind of sannyasi is this? Who is a grihastha sannyasi? He was wondering. And not only that, he asked, so you have been only taking fruits, but what about bliss? I would like to serve Ananda, bliss to you. And Lord Chaitanya asked, what is this bliss he is talking about? And Nityananda came very close to his ears and said, whispered, he is asking whether we want liquor, he said. That's what he means as bliss, he said. Immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumped up from his place, ran out of the house, and both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Janpati jumped into the Ganges with their dress also, everything. And they swam up to Shantipur after that. They never turned back. So, this tantric sannyasi is a sample of Kali Yuga sannyasi. You can see there are so many tantric sannyasis who carry kapalikas, who carry kapala. Some people carry trishul. Some people, you go to the Kumbh Mela, you can get to see hundreds and thousands of varieties of sadhus. Some sadhus smoke also. Some smoke bidis. All there are sadhus of different kinds. You can see that. So these are actually dumba. Simply they sit on the back of an elephant. How many of you have been to Kumbh Mela? Yeah, you have seen sadhu sitting on the top of elephant. You see? Yeah, they come like a king. Yeah. But if you see their personal life, they don't follow four regular principles and all. Yeah. It's very... we don't know what kind of sadhus are they. Simply dumba. It's... there is one verse in the 16th chapter also which says, Atma Sambhavita, what is it? Stabda, is it? Atma Sambhavita Stabda, Dhanamana Madanvitaha, Yajante Nama Yajnaiste, Dhambena Abhidipurvakam. There also explains about the Dhamba. That how Yajante Nama Yajnaiste, they do Yajna, which is the namesake Yajna. That Yajna is not performed for the pleasure of Vishnu. It's performed only to propagate their own glories. They do yajna. Sometimes you find they have posters, Putra Kameshtika yajna. They put big posters in there. And then there you'll find their name will be much bigger than, the actual yajna that is going to take place there. That will be in very small letters. And the big, like sometimes you go to some place, even in fans they write the names. So-and-so donated the fan. Then to read the name, you have to rotate your head along with that. Write the name. Everyone who gets even a puff of air from the fan should know that I gave the fan. Isn't it? So this is Prabhupada saying, one should not pose himself as a religionist simply for name and fame. Jesus says, when your right hand is giving charity, the left hand should not know it. He says, it's very high class charity. So that is Dhamba. So he says, Amanitvam Adambitvam. So one should not pose oneself as a bogus religionist. Prabhupada writes in Bhagavatam also, when Indra posed as a bogus sadhu, in order to steal away the hearts from Prithumaraja's sacrifice, he became a kapalika sannyasi. He was carrying a kapala with a stick, wearing a saffron robes. And that is why Prithumaraja's son Ajita could not kill Indra. He was afraid because he was in sadhu stress. Prabhupada says, from that time onwards, Prabhupada says, there had been degradation in religion, where there had been many cheaters, cheating religionists. like Ravana is one in the line also. When he went to Mother Sita, he posed himself as a sadhu to steal away Mother Sita. So these people are simply show bottle sadhus. How is this relevant to us is very important. Because from a distance it is very nice for us to criticize all the people who are showing dhamba, or posing as religionists. So in our personal life we have to see how much do we truly live the religion than speaking the religion. It's very easy to speak great things, wonderful things, but how much do I live by those principles that I speak is really a question. So there is always a tension between what we preach and the way we behave. There's a tension. There's a dynamic tension between the two. You know what is the tension? The tension is, sometimes we preach things which are very lofty. But then we look at ourselves in our personal behavior, we may see that we are falling short. We find that we are not able to stand up to the standard of what we are telling. How many of you have that experience? All of us have that experience, isn't it? That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jare Deku Tare Kaho Krishna Upadesh. Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's trick is that if you keep on preaching, you will feel the tension inside. That I also have to follow, I am preaching. By the tension, gradually you will be uplifted and you will become a proper devotee. If you don't preach, what happens? You will keep telling everyone, Prabhu, I am a fallen soul, I am a fallen soul, and you will remain fallen only. You will never grow. There are many people who say, I am fallen. So when anybody tells me I am fallen, I will tell them, now you preach now. Because if you preach, you will have to raise yourself. You will be forced to raise yourself. So, one thing is very important. Like the famous slogan from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I will try to get that quote. There is a nice quote. Here is that quote. This is from... She says here, Apani achari keha nakare prachara prachara karana keha nakarena achara achara prachara namera karha dui karya tumi sarva guru tumi jagatera arya. Some behave very well but do not preach the cult of Krishna consciousness, whereas others preach but do not behave properly. You simultaneously perform both activities in relation to the holy name by your personal behavior and by your preaching. Therefore, you are the most advanced devotee in the world. So, Sanatana Goswami tells Haridas Thakur in Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela 102-3 is saying, I don't know which chapter it is. Antya Leela 102 and 103. But I don't know which chapter it is. It's Antya Leela. See? Very simple words. Apani Acharya Kaha Nakare Prachar. Some people follow achar very nicely, but they don't do prachar. Prachar karena keha. Some people do prachar very well, na karena achar. But they don't apply it in their own life. And then he says, achara prachara namera karhadu I karya. Oh, Haridas Thakur, you do both the things perfectly. Tumi sarva guru. You are the spiritual master of the whole world. Tumi jagatera arya. Therefore, you are the most advanced devotee in the world, he is saying. It's a very wonderful verse. So this verse should inspire us to also practice what we are preaching. There should not be discrepancy between our preaching and practice. Of course, there will be discrepancy, but we should lament for it. We should regret that I am saying big things, how much do I follow in my life? You know, the Shastras say one should associate with pure devotees. And Prabhupada said, we have started this ISKCON society so that people may come and associate with devotees. But there are many people who complain that even within our society we don't have, you know, so many pure devotees to associate with. So the reason is that all are actually like patients in a hospital, gradually taking the medicines and trying to become purer. I mean, trying to cure the disease of metal contamination. So all of us are here in society to become more and more purer. So we can take note of this, that Adambitvam he says, which means we should not pose as a religionist. Like our Shyamanpu was once telling. Once he cracked a joke in our class. Once he always cracks very amazing jokes. Once he was telling that devotees, and they put tilak, you know, for this we use a mirror, very carefully put the tilak, remove the central portion, put the, this thing, and then afterwards we put like this tilak, you know, put all over the body like this, you know, Keshava Narayana Madhavan Gunayana Damodarayana, very fastly do that, you know, and then we put the kurta and everything. So he was telling why they do that. He said this is advertisement department. You know, this they are going to show to other people. But then what is going to go inside your kurta, who is going to see anyway? Isn't it? People generally think like that. In the same way, sometimes we even speak very humbly, very politely, like a nice gentleman, because that is for advertisement. Because we want to show that I am a nice devotee. But deep inside, we can look into our heart whether we have such qualities. So, inside and outside, we have to be the same. That is the meaning of non-duplicity. Non-duplicitous means inside, outside, one is the same person. Actually, to the degree we are duplicitous, there will be tension between inside and outside. And that only causes us suffering. That's why we feel suffering. Why do we feel suffering? Sometimes our youths, students used to come and tell me. Some of them used to cry. So, Prabhuji, you know, we are going and preaching to boys. But, you know, we ourselves sometimes quarrel, you know. We become angry with devotees. Right, and that is noticed by our juniors. That becomes a problem. So we tell them, you know, whenever we quarrel, you go away, don't come. Isn't it? So, it's very easy to put tilak and kantimala, but to behave as a Vaishnava is not very easy. So it's a challenge. So that's why it begins with amanitvam and adambitvam. It is always better to be humble and understand one's insignificant position. And then one can attract the mercy of the Lord very easily. You know, Vaishnava philosophy means one should beg, one should pray, one should hope. These are the words that are used in our philosophy. One should beg for the mercy of the Lord, one should pray for it, one should hope for it. And we don't declare to the Lord about the greatness of our austerities and penances and endeavors. I have done this much austerity, I have done this much penances or endeavors. We don't show all that. But we ask for causeless mercy. Asking for causeless mercy means, what is the meaning of causeless mercy? That which you don't deserve, that is given to you. That is the meaning of causeless mercy. So I don't deserve when I come in front of you, like that famous song. So can we sing that one song and conclude the lecture? Like to sing. This is one of my most favorite songs.
गौरंग करुणा करो दीनहीन ताने मोसमापतित प्रभु ताही त्रिभुवने गौरंग करुणा करो नहीं जाने मौसम पतित प्रभु दंते त्रेणा धोरी गौरा डाकी है तुम्हार कृपा करी हे सोयावार हृदय मंदिर दंते त्रेणा धरे गौरा डाकी है तुम्हार कृपा करे सोयावार यदि दया ना करिवे पतित देखिया पतित पावन नम किसे लागिया यदि दया ना करिवे पतित देखिया पतित पावन नाम पड़े भव तो फाने दाही का निस्तार ಶ್ರೀ ಚರಣ ತರಣಿ ದಾನೆ ದಾಸ ಕರೋಪ ಪಾನೆ ನಾಹಿ ಕೋನ ಶ್ರೀ ಚರಣ ತರಣಿ ದಾನೆ ದಾಸ ಕರೋಪ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ದಾಸರನುರಾಗ ಪ್ರಾರ್ಥನಾ ಕರೋಯೇ ಸದಾ ಪರೋಪಮದ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ದಾಸರನುರಾಗ ಗೌರಂಗ ಕರುಣಾ ಕರೋ ದೀನಹೀನ ಜಾನೆ ಮೋಸ ಮಾಪತಿತ ಪ್ರಭು ನಾಹಿ ತ್ರಿಭುವಾನೆ ಗೌರಂಗ ಕರುಣಾ ಕರೋ
ವೆರಿ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ಸಾಂಗ್ ಬಿಸೈಡ್ ಗೌರಂಗ ಕರುಣಾಕರ ಓ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಗೌರಂಗ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಬಿ ಮರ್ಸಿಫುಲ್ ಆನ್ ಮೀ ದೀನಹೀನ ಜನೆ ದ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಫಾಲನ್ ಸೋಲ್ ಆಸ್ ಮೈ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಮೋಸಮ ಮೋಸಮ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಈಕ್ವಲ್ ಟು ಮೀ ಪತಿತ ಪ್ರಭು ವೆರಿ ಫಾಲನ್ ಒನ್ ನಹಿ ತ್ರಿಭುವನೆ ಇನ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ತ್ರೀ ವರ್ಸ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಒನ್ ಆಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅನ್ ಆಸ್ ಮೀ ಮೈ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಇಸ್ ದೆನ್ ಈ ಸೇಸ್ ದಂತೈತ್ರಿಣ ಧರಿ ಗೌರ ಟೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಗ್ರಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ಮೈ ಟೀತ್ ದಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ಸೈನ್ ಆಫ್ ಹ್ಯುಮಿಲಿಟಿ ಇನ್ ದ ವೇದಿಕ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಸನಾತನ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಅಪ್ರೋಚ್ಡ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಬೈ ಕೀಪಿಂಗ್ ಗ್ರಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಟೀತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಅ ಟವಲ್ ಆನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ನೆಕ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಈ ಅಪ್ರೋಚ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ದಂತೇತ್ರಣ ಧರಿ ಗೌರ ಡಾಕಿ ಹೇ ತೋಮಾರ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಟೆಲಿಂಗ್ ಯು ವಾಟ್ ಆಮ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಕೃಪಾಕರಿ ಐಸೋ ಎಮ್ ಆರ್ ಹೃದಯ ಮಂದಿರೆ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಬಿ ಮರ್ಸಿಫುಲ್ ಟು ಮೀ by showering your mercy on the temple of my heart. And then he says, Yadidaya na koribe, patita dekhiya. If you will not shower your mercy on this fallen soul, then what is the use of you being called as patita pavan? Patita pavana nama kisera lagya. All people in this world are saying that Gauranga Mahaprabhu is patita pavan, whole world is glorifying you. If you cannot deliver a foreign person like me, so how can he be called with that name, Patita Pavan? Then he says, Podechi Bhavatu Fane, the hurricane of the material existence, Nahikane Star, and I have no support anywhere except your lotus feet. Shri Charana Tarani Dane, your lotus feet are like the boat, by boarding which one will be very safe, Dasa Karapar, and one can cross over this most ferocious Bhavasagar. By taking shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he says, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Dasarana Das, I am servant of the servant. Pratna Parayasa Das, Nartam Das. So in this way he is wonderfully praying. Very wonderful song. Yeah. We can sing one more song? Okay, this time. That is, you can play one song. I am going to play 1-2. Small one.
ಗುರುದೇವ ಕೃಪಾ ಬಿಂದು ಜಿಯ ಕೊರೋಯಿ ದಾಸೆ ತನಪೆ ಕೋತಿನ ಗುರುದೇವ ಕೃಪಾ ಬಿಂದು ಜಿಯ ಕೊರೋಯಿ ದಾಸೆ ತನಪೆ ಕೋತಿ ಗುರುದೇವ ಕೃಪಾ ಬಿಂದು ಜಿಯ ಕೊರೋಯಿ ದಾಸೆ ಕೃಪೇಕ ಅತಿಹೀನ ಗುರುದೇವ ಕೃಪಾ ಬಿಂದು ದಿಯ ಕೊರೋಯಿ ದಾಸೆ ಕ సకల సహనే వలదియా కర హిజవానే సుహీనా సకల సహనే వలదియా కర హిజవానే సుహీనా సకల సహనే వలదియా కర నిజమానే సుహీనా సహనే వలదియా కర సకల సమ్మాన కొరితే సఖతి దేహనాథ యథాయథ సకల సమ్మాన కొరితే సఖతి సభే తో జైవ హరి నామ సుకె అపరాధ హవె హత సభే తో జైవ గురుదేవ కృపబిందు దియా కరుణే గాకె క్షణపే అతి గురుదేవ కృపబిందు దియా కరుణే గాకె క్షణపే అతి కవే హే న కృపా లోభియా యే ధనా కృతార్థ হইবে নাথা কবে হেন কৃপা লবিয়া এ জানা কৃতার্থ হইবে নাথা শক্তি বুদ্ধিহীনা আমি অতি দিনা হে আমারে আত্মসাথা শক্তি বুদ্ধিহীনা শক্তি বুদ্ধিহীন আমি আতি দিন করমরে আত্মসাথ আমি আতি দিন যোগ্যতা বিচারে কিছু নাহি পায় তোমার করুণ সারা বিস্তার ইতনা হি পায় শক্তি বুদ্ধিহীন আমি অতি দিন তোর মোরে আত্মকথা শক্তি বুদ্ধিহীন গুরুদেব কৃপা বিন্দু দিয়া করণাপে খি করণাপে খিহীনাপে পে কাতি
দিস সং মিন্স ও গুরুদেব ও স্পেশাল মাস্টার কৃপা বিন্দু দিয়া প্লিজ গিভ মি আ ড্রপ অফ ইয়র মার্সি করোয়ে দাসে টু দিস ফলন সার্ভেন্ট করোয়ে দাসে ঋণাপেক অতিহীন I am more fallen than a straw in the street. Trinapeka. Trina means the grass. Trinapeka atihina. And then he says, Sakale sahane. Please give me the ability to tolerate. We will be talking that in the next week's talk. Yeah. He says, Amanitam adhanitam ahimsa kshanti. Kshanti means to tolerate. So sakale sahane. He is not saying, remove my obstacles. He doesn't say. Let obstacles come, give me the strength to tolerate them. Sakale sahane. Baladiya karo. Give me the strength the spiritual strength by which I can tackle all kinds of adversities in this world. And sakala sahane baladya karo nijamane sprahakina. This nijamane sprahakina means let me give up my self pride, the false pride that I have about myself. Sprahakina means let me be desireless, let me not desire any material things, and let me give up this man that I have, that ahankar that I have, let me give it up. He is saying, and then he is saying sakala samane, please give me the ability to respect one and all the Vaishnavas. Sakale samane korite shakti, I want the shakti to respect all. Although I have so many other shaktis, talents and skills, but I don't have this one shakti. What is that lacking in me? I am not able to respect others. In fact, all the other shaktis have cheated me, because those shaktis have come to the surface of my nose, and with my raised nose I am walking, with all those unnecessary skills which are petty and useless at the time of death, because of which I am not able to respect all Vaishnavas. Give me the ability to respect all Vaishnavas. Sakale samane kurite shakti deho nata yata yata. Then he says, tabeto gaibo. Only then I will be able to chant the holy names with great bliss. Tabeto gaibo harinama sukhe. You will get sukha while chanting naam. How many of us feel sukha while chanting name? So we feel only dukkha. So that's why he's saying, so if you have to transform this dukkha into sukha, you have to respect all living beings. Amanina manadena. Then we can get harinama sukha. Tabeto gaibo harinama sukhe aparadha habihat. All aparadhas will go away, beginning with the first aparad, offending Vaishnavas. And then kabe hena kripa, when will the, here is this expressing that ashabandha, expressing the hope. When will that mercy come on me, O spiritual master? Kabe hena kripa labhya ye jana kritartha hoi benata. I will be very grateful to you, my dear master, he is saying. Please bestow that mercy upon me. Otherwise I am like a poverty stricken beggar wandering here and there, not knowing what to do without your mercy. Kabe hena kripa labhya ye jana kritartha hoi benata shakti buddhi heena amiyati deena karamare atmasata. He says, shakti buddhi heen means I don't have shakti buddhi, I don't have intelligence, and I don't have any strength. So he is declaring his fallen nature. I don't have any good intelligence, you guide me. So you be with me and you guide me. So these are all symptoms of a person taking shelter, as you say. Taking shelter means that desperation can be perceived in this, the desperation can be seen in this world. Only if you are thirsty, you will beg for water. Only if you are hungry, you will beg for food, isn't it? Here this person is really feeling the need of good association of the spiritual master. So he is begging. He is saying, I don't have any intelligence, I don't have any buddhi or shakti, please help me. And then he says, if you ask my yogyata, qualification, what is my qualification? Yogyata vichare vichnahi paye. He says, there is no qualification with me. In fact, your mercy is the only qualification. I have no other qualification. Vichnahi paye. Tomara karuna sara. Your karuna, your compassion is my qualification. Because your compassion is going to deliver me. So that is my only qualification, he says. And then he says, karuna na hoibe. I sang wrongly. Last line I sang. Yogyata vichare kichunahi pai. Tomara karuna sara. Yogyata vichare kichunahi pai. Tomara karuna sara. Karuna na hoile khandiya kandiya prana na rakibo ara. Karuna na hoile prana na rakibo ara. Gurudev kripa bindu diya soroye rakhe shunape kati heena. So he says, if you don't give me your mercy, I can only simply weep. So I am not making any demands because I am a beggar. A beggar cannot be a chooser. A beggar cannot be a demander. He says, If you don't give me your mercy, what will I do? I can only simply weep, he says. So it's a very first class expression of one's genuine humility. In these two songs we find. So these songs actually can be sung and remembered and relished, and we can also try to practice them, which is the most difficult thing to do. But you can certainly try. Thank you very much.